Well, welcome to the English Churchman, and we're down in Worthing with Steve Stevens, who's a great flyer, flown with Mission Aviation Fellowship and in the Balkans during the World War, and has been involved with the Festival of Light, and is an author of several books now, and has another book on the way. So we're very glad to be down with you today, Mr. Stevens, and very glad to have you with us.
We're delighted. Of course, it's a privilege for us to for me to have you here. Thank you.
Good. Now, let's just go from the beginning, shall we, and tell us a little about your early life.
Yes. Well, I was born at the end of World War II, when my father had been gassed and was in pretty bad shape, and his two brothers had been traumatized, which we knew nothing about in those days. And for the next 10 years of my life, I traveled with him wherever he was posted, to Germany and then to Switzerland to try to save his life, to Italy and then to Ireland in the Sinn Féin trouble, where I learned to ride a donkey. And then I came to school in Sussex in England for a short time, and then my father's regiment was due to go to India, and they said he'll never survive in the climate of India. You better have early retirement. So he was invalided out. And when I was nearly 10, we went to South Africa in an old ship called the Saxon on its last United Union Castle line to South Africa. And we settled in South Africa. And I won't go into that, but I was eventually led to the Lord in South Africa by missionaries. But prior to that, I had only had one occasion where I ever remember thinking about God. And I don't know where it came from, but I was going down Richmond Hill from my grandmother's house, and I tripped on something, and I fell and put my hands out to save my life, and to save my fall. And my left hand fell on a broken bottle, and it was cut so badly that my mother had to rush me to the nearest doctor to sew it up. But while I was on that walk with blood streaming out, I remember clearly saying to my mother, if Jesus had been here, he would have healed me. Mm. Now, I have no idea where that came from. Mm. So somewhere in my background, there must have been some maidservant or somebody who was a Christian who had said something to me, but nothing gelled. Mm. So it wasn't until we went to South Africa, and again tragedy struck. My mother, who had had a riding accident in Germany when a racehorse she was riding bolted, and jumped over a wagon. She thought it would stop when she saw the wagon crossing the road in this forest, but it didn't. It tried to jump it and threw her, and she had 11 stitches in her head and was in hospital for some time. So we thought that when she became ill with a tumor on the brain, it was probably because of that riding accident years before. So when my mother became ill, I was now 14, had been in South Africa 4 years. I thought that she would recover soon, but my father had to call in doctors. Well, there weren't any civilian doctors there, but there was a missionary doctor, a Scotsman, with the Brethren Mission. And so, reluctantly, he called this doctor up. We knew of this doctor because they had sent us postcards occasionally asking us to go to their mission station on a Sunday for a fellowship meeting together. But we didn't want to do that. No. We just tore these cards up and we said we wanted to, didn't want anything to do with Bible thumpers. Mm. But when we phoned up the doctor, my, he was so kind, he came. And he became so concerned that he sent a day nurse and a night nurse and they looked after us. To cut a long story short, eventually my mother went to Durban for an operation, and she died under the operation. But my father, later on, nearly died himself because of his bad lung. And I was nearly left in South Africa without a single relative at all. However, he survived, and I left college, and we went farming together in the Great Karoo. And it wasn't long before I decided that I didn't want to spend my life milking cows and looking after sheep and being a midwife to these sheep as well, because they couldn't pass their lambs. So I decided to go to Bible College. So I went to the Bible Institute of South Africa, and that was the best thing I've ever done in my life. I got my education there, and I got my motivation there, and I got my inspiration there, and I think the Bible colleges of that caliber are tremendously great. But the war broke out, and then I became a pilot with the South African Air Force for 10 years. And that is told in my book called Bowfighter Over the Balkans, from the Balkan Air Force to the Berlin Airlift. So that's the beginning of my life.
That's good. It's fascinating, isn't it, how the Lord prepares people in different ways, different circumstances, because there are Christians, aren't there, converted from all different backgrounds, and there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it, but the Lord chooses people from different backgrounds for different sorts of work sometimes, and he's clearly called you out of quite a tumultuous start into being able to fly in quite... It must have been quite horrific, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
How did you know the Lord's keeping you?
Well, I tell you why. Because my father gave me a little Bible to take up to North with me. He knew I couldn't carry much with me. And in it, he put extracts in red letters in the front cover for the 91st Psalm. And that is the deliverance psalm. And that deliverance psalm was used by me in my thinking and in my praying during the time I was there. And they were praying for me three times a day. And I'm utterly convinced that the reason I'm alive today was because of the prayers of my father and my stepmother. So the 91st Psalm, to me, is the key to my being alive today. And I have actually sent that psalm to Prince William as he begins his very dangerous life. And I'm hoping to do the same with Prince Harry now that he has just qualified as well.
Just to remind people listening, the Psalm 91 begins, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." And we could read on, but there's obviously much there that applies to one.
And the
for the shadow of his under his wings, and for the arrows, the terror must have been during those flying during the war. How did you get on with the others involved, other Air Force men who were not believers? Did you have many opportunities to speak to them of the grace of God?
I wasn't as forthright in those days as I am today, and I wish I had given that psalm to our chaplain, which I only saw occasionally, and asked him to use all in the squadrons there. And so I regret that, especially as I look back on some of my friends who died in war and might not have died if I had given them that psalm. So that's a regret that I have in my life.
But we do praise God that He's very patient with us, don't we, really? That God is very patient with us. We do praise Him for that.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And that we can learn slowly.
Yes.
And he forgives us all where we haven't done what we should have done. Otherwise, we'd be quite miserable, wouldn't we, really? We'd look back and think how we'd failed the Lord. Whereas his grace is sufficient, so we can be thankful, and we can learn even by mistakes which we wish we hadn't made.
Yes, as I look back now on war, and I have offered to, in fact, I nearly was able to speak in St. Paul's Cathedral, but something went wrong in relation to that. But I would like to give my testimony, and I'd hope to do so on an Armistice Day occasion, to show people how horrific war is. After all, we lost nearly 60 million people in World War II. And when you think of the Somme in World War I, I mean, it boggles my mind that humanity can be so against each other. How can we be like this? We're worse than animals. So,
I think you started saying you were born after World War II, but it was World War I you were born after.
Oh, yes, did I? World War I.
So then, thank you. We're very indebted to those who've given their lives in war, and of course, beyond all, we're indebted to the Lord Jesus, aren't we, who gave his life for us, so we learn to look to him.
I think what we also ought to bear in mind, which I didn't understand at that time, was I was a teetotaler and have been all my life, because I saw what alcohol had done with my own family before we were converted, and all my neighbors. I was actually a barman when I was about 12 years of age, and I didn't like what I saw, and it put me off alcohol, put me off smoking, and it certainly put me off blue jokes as well. So the bad that I went through actually did me good, because I didn't succumb to it. I fought against it, and I've done so ever since.
Yeah. Good. So then it was, how long, it was after the war that you then turned to putting your skills in aircraft to another use?
Yes, well, that happened when I was in the war. I was after the war, when I was bringing back my troops in Dakotas from Cairo, and that would be a 10-day round trip in those fairly small planes, only 28 seaters, and very slow ones as well. And when I got to Khartoum once, I looked up the missionaries, and they told me how horrific it was to send missionaries to the South Sudan. They couldn't reach them, and they couldn't get out for 6 months of the year. They were swamped in with rains and water and roads that were not roads at all, just tracks. And so I promised them that I would try and start an organization and fly for them. I better just look in the switchboard. Hello. Yes, see. Hello.